If you're thinking about it, she's talking about it. Join the conversation at 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. We're hoping that we're going to hear from Nicole Malatiakis, but we'll see. In the meantime, I just wanted to talk about a couple of stories, not particularly related to Connecticut, but I wanted to let you know. Did you see the story about Lady Gaga's dogs that got taken and her dog walker who got shot four times, almost fatally? They think he's expected to survive, but is still in critical condition. Andrew, did you see this story this morning? Did you hear about this story? 203-333-9422. I guess Andrew's on the phone. Listen, this is such a horrific story, and the video is available on CNN. Lady Gaga's dog walker was walking her two French bulldogs. Somebody pulls up at a car, and they shoot him down on the streets of L.A. Then they take the dogs. She's calling for a ransom for $500,000 for her dogs, and she's praying that her dog walker survives. It's such a horrific, horrible kind of a crime in America. It just reminds you, I don't know what it reminds you. You have to go out and live your life every day, but it's such a terrible, terrible thing. I really just wanted you to know about it. Joining us now is Republican Congresswoman Nicole Malatiakis, who I got to know when she was making such a good, credible bid for the mayoralty of New York City. Too bad she didn't win. But you know what? She made it to Congress, and she's a freshman Republican. She's making her mark. She was one of the few Congress people to not go with the crowd on Donald Trump in terms of the insurrection. And now she really wants to come on our show and talk with us about what she's making of Governor Cuomo and his troubles. Nicole Malatiakis, Representative Malatiakis, welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. And here's a formal congratulations.
Thank you, Lisa. I appreciate it. It's great to be on with you.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on. I think you're such an independent thinker, Nicole, and I just like the way you operate. Too bad you didn't become the mayor yet. But, you know, there's still time. You're very young. Nicole, how old are you, more or less?
Actually, I turned 40 right after November's election.
Yeah, you're such a baby. You've got such a great career now and ahead of you. How do you like being in Congress so far?
Look, it's been a bit of a different experience than most freshmen, I think, have. You know, between the COVID and unable to get together in groups and really mingle with the other members and get to know and build relationships. And of course, we had a lot of polarization during our first month, some difficult votes. But I think that I'm really excited about the opportunity to get to work. I've actually was just placed on a few different committees that I think are very important to my constituents. Transportation infrastructure, which is a fantastic committee. We're overseeing everything from the U.S. Coast Guard to the maritime industry to rails and highways and everything in between. And then I'm also on the Foreign Affairs Committee, which is exciting. And I have a very diverse district that cares about what's happening overseas in their homelands or throughout the world and how, you know, we have to stand up to China and make sure we bring our supply chain home. We can't allow the spread of socialism to the South. And we need to make sure that we are doing what we can to have spread democracy throughout the world. And of course, build upon President Trump's accomplishments on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement and other trade deals, as well as, you know, the Abraham Accords. And so I'm super excited about those committees and also on a COVID relief subcommittee. And right now, you know, as you know, we're debating this massive $1.9 trillion package, which, if you want, we can go through that a little bit, but I'll leave the questions up to you.
Well, certainly, I'd love to hear what you have to say about that. I mean, it's a massive package, but it's number three in massive packages since this COVID pandemic. So this is the one that's intended to, you know, keep us trying to continue with the recovery. The stock market's been extraordinary, but there have been a lot of people in this country who are still suffering. So how do you view this spending?
Yeah, so I think one of the issues that we need to be mindful of is that we're heading toward a $30 trillion debt in this country. And the previous packages, there are still $1 trillion left unspent. I came to Congress saying I want to provide, relief. I want to continue to work toward reopening this economy. We got to get people back in school, kids back in school, people back to work. And, I support some form of relief. Of course, I want to make sure that we're continuing unemployment for those who are suffering and are out of work. The stimulus check is a good idea as long as it's tailored. We have to make sure that we are providing these small businesses, particularly those that governors like mine, Andrew Cuomo, shut down. They need assistance. They need aid. They need relief, tax relief. So I think that, there's certainly I came with the intention of supporting a package. But this one is just it is an extremely irresponsible. It's unsustainable. It's bloated. Just to tell you how bloated this bill is. Less than 1% actually goes for vaccine manufacturing and distribution. And if you ask any Democrat or Republican, any local or national leader, they will tell you that that is the number one thing to returning normalcy. But yet the fact that it's less than 1% of this overall spending plan just shows you how big and monstrous this bill is. Over $1 trillion is non-emergency, most of it non-COVID related. You have everything from Nancy Pelosi building a new rail line in San Francisco to money for family planning, $3.5 billion for the global fund to combat AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis, which are good causes, but we shouldn't be taking up 88% of the cost of the expenditures when this is an international organization. So there are things like that are very concerning. CDC said the United States need $25 billion to reopen America's schools safely. Now, at this point with this bill, they'll be allocating 8 times that amount, and yet schools are not open. So it just goes to show you how mismanaged this government is and how really this is just, unfortunately, the Democrats who controlled the process here and actually changed the rules so they could pass it without any Republican votes. And that's another story about the process of it all. But this just seems like they are using this pandemic as a guise to spend money and all sorts of other things that are unrelated. And that's why I can't support it as it is.
You make a lot of good points. We're chatting with Representative Nicole Malliotakis, whose congressional district includes Staten Island, New York, and you make a lot of good points. The problem that you have politically is a lack of credibility, not you personally, because it seems like for the last 4 years under Republican control, there wasn't that. I mean, Democrats notoriously never take so much of a look at spending. They like to spend. And Republicans really weren't interested in taking a close microscopic look at spending either, because their leader was, signing the bills and wanting to spend. So I think that there's a political problem with trying to now say, well, we want to tighten our belt. You make a lot of good sense on the substance of it. And to know that there's another trillion that went unspent that was originally allocated, a trillion is a million billions. It's a lot of money. And one wonders, Nicole, where is that money going to go? Who's going to get money?
Interestingly enough, I tried to find a percentage of this budget, and I tried to use my calculator to divide by 1 trillion, and you can't even do that. It doesn't go up that
you
high.
You can't do it.
I had to ask Alexa. I had to ask Alexa to do it for me, and she did. And it's shocking. And that's how I found out that less than 1% of this budget was going to vaccine manufacturing and distribution. But look, I can't speak for what the Republicans have done in the past. I'm a new member here. I've been a fiscal conservative in my time in the state legislature. I'm going to continue to be that here. But also, I think that if we're going to be issuing debt and we are going to be borrowing and investing or trying to do something, then it should be for much needed transportation and infrastructure. That is critically important. This package, by the way, because I support the stimulus checks. I think they need to be tailored for those who had experienced losses. But what I'll say is this: you get $1,400, and then but this entire package costs $15,000 per American household. So that's just typical government.
Wow.
You're giving with one hand and they'll take
in
with the other.
That's a huge amount of debt for all of us. Yeah. That's
so
big.
It's a huge amount of debt, and I just feel like we should reserve some of this so we could be doing you know, an infrastructure package that is needed, our roads, our bridges. You know, we need to be able to keep up with economic growth, population growth. What are we going to do at that point? So, you know, I think that that is, you know, that's where I stand on this, in this issue, and I'll continue to advocate for it, you know, some common sense here and a balance.
Good luck with that. I love your idealism, common sense in Washington. It's almost an oxymoron, but I'm happy that you're fighting. It's good to hear it. Nicole Malatiakis, tell us, what do you think about Governor Cuomo? I can hear Governor Biden, pardon me, President Biden wincing. You can hear Jen Psaki in the press conferences trying to avoid the topic altogether. I think Governor Cuomo is becoming persona non grata in his own political party. He doesn't need the Republicans to rub it in. I think the Democrats have turned on him. But you know him intimately. You were in the state legislature. You're a New Yorker yourself. Let us have it. What do you think about Governor Cuomo?
Well, look, I think that the governor needs to go. I mean, I've been pushing for his resignation for a couple of weeks now following well, let's look at what happened here. May 7th, I was the first to call for an investigation into his March 25th executive order in which he placed positive COVID patients into nursing homes. He continued that order even after there were alternatives like the Javits Center and like the U.S. Navy comfort ship.
Yep.
Fast forward, the legislature had hearings on this. His health commissioner came. They completely stonewalled the state legislature. I was a member at the time and participated in that hearing, which was more of a dog and pony show. Nonetheless, we've tried to get information. They had stonewalled us. Then he underreported the numbers to the public. He said that 50% he underreported the numbers, the number of COVID positive patients that died in nursing homes. And then he underreported the number of COVID positive patients that had been placed in nursing homes. So it was really disingenuous what the governor had done here, trying to mislead the public. Then there was a federal investigation that opened up, and also a state attorney general had been doing an investigation. She's the one that determined about the underreporting numbers. But in all of this, his own chief of staff admitted that there was a cover up, because he did not want the Department of Justice to get information. And so that is the third issue here. And the fourth issue, that he's bullying his fellow Democrat, Assemblyman Ron Kim, who spoke out against him. He threatened him. And that's unacceptable. We cannot tolerate this abuse by this governor. You know, he needs to resign. I've had thousands of New Yorkers and neighbors of New Yorkers, maybe some folks in Connecticut as well who work in New York, or have family in New York, add their names, enoughcuomo.com. They can continue to do so, enoughcuomo.com. But I do believe that whether it's by resignation, whether it be by criminal prosecution, whether it be by impeachment, which the legislature is exploring now, or whether it be at the ballot box next year, that Governor Cuomo's time is limited, and that he certainly has outdone his welcome. At least that's what the folks in my district feel and when I'm speaking with them every day. And I think that's the sentiment all around the state.
You know, it's very interesting because it seems like we don't have, we're chatting with Congresswoman Nicole Malatiakis. As I think about who would be his successor, he's completing his third term. And he seemed to have a vice-like grip on Albany to the extent he wanted to keep being there, which is no longer, I agree with you, certain by any means. But who is the field of other Democrats and Republicans who are likely to throw their hat in the ring? For example, you, Representative Malatiakis, will you be running for governor?
No, it will not be me. It will not be me, that I could tell you. But there could be another member of Congress. I mean, certainly we have a lot of great talent here. We have Congressman Lee Zeldin. We have Congressman Tom Reed. We have Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. I think that for once the Republicans actually have a bench. It could be somebody like Rob Astorino, who
oh, that's right, Rob, my good friend from Westchester County. Yes,
you know,
Rob.
You know, there's different options, and certainly that's not what we're looking at right now. What we're concerned right now is that the governor has abused his power. New Yorkers want answers. Families deserve justice, and we're going to continue to push for accountability. And then on top of all that, I mean, we haven't even mentioned the sexual harassment claims made
That's
by one
true.
Of his former
Lindsay
staff
Boylan.
Members. And so that has
yep.
just made it, that has even made it even muddier for the governor right now. So I urge everyone that's listening to go to enoughcuomo.com and add their name so we can try to hold this guy accountable.
Nicole Malatiakis, thanks very much for sparing a few minutes to be on our show today. You're welcome back anytime. Good luck. I'll be following your record and your voting and your statements. I'm cheerleading for you. I'm a fan. So thanks very much for coming on the show. Nicole Malatiakis on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back, and we're going to learn a little bit about Black history with somebody who can speak to this from a personal family record. I'm so excited. We're going to be joined by a descendant of none other than Harriet Tubman herself, and we're going to be learning about how the lessons from the legacy of Harriet Tubman are going to be translated into our own community here in Bridgeport. So stay tuned for a fabulous conversation coming up next on the Lisa Wexler Show. We'll be right back.